Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us. We have a very busy show on tap for you here today with a lot of ground to cover. So let's get to it. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's show brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for farmers and ranchers. Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your trucks on the road. Learn more online at cenex.com. Coming up in segment two, it is the May episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We're going to talk about the relationship between corn growers and the pet food industry. After the bottom of the hour in segment three, we got the new tax credit announcement, the 40B tax credit, the GREET modeling for sustainable aviation fuel. We're going to discuss that and more with Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. And then at the end of the show, we're going to get an update on some trucking issues with our friends with OIDA, the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. George O'Connor with OIDA, he's going to join us coming up later in the show. Let's kick things off, though, and talk markets as we've officially flipped the calendar to the month of May. Christy Van Onschesith with Van On & Company joins us here on AOA today. Christy, thanks so much for being back with us. Hope you're doing well.
I am. It's always so fun to be here. So thanks for the opportunity.
Well, let's dive in and talk markets. And it was pretty risk off on Tuesday, really a sea of red. And I have to think some of the chatter I heard in the trade anyway was a lot of deliveries. And with First Notice Day, we had some outside market news that kind of gave us pressure and headwinds. And really just end of the month volatility seemed to be the name of the game on Tuesday. You get into Wednesday, it's a little more quiet and mixed as we officially start the month of May. And give us your assessment of where this grain trade sits here after a couple of days this week.
Yeah, you know, I think yesterday kind of started in those outside markets. So we, you know, if you come back and we like rewind about 6-7 months, really the rhetoric was that we would see interest rate cuts early into 2024 by midsummer. But most likely, you know, people felt very confident you would see them by the end of 2024. And then, you know, our inflation numbers, we were just continuing to get those inflation numbers coming in hot. And so we saw that kind of information. We have FOMC happening right now. We're going to get a decision from them today. They've been deliberating yesterday and today at 1 p.m. I do think that's where the risk off really starting those outside markets is the fact that not so much that we're going to see interest rate increases, but I just think that people are concerned that we're not going to see any action from them. And so you saw that selling pressure start. Gold's been so hot lately, that selling pressure, Bitcoin, all of those outside markets really started to get negatively red. And then it just felt like people were looking at that screen and saying, hey, it's the end of April. What else can we sell? And that selling pressure just came across. I think cattle markets had the reason to sell off just because of that information about testing ground beef. Not that that really changes much, but anytime you get those sort of news, risk off happens there. But there was a lot of red across the screen. And now it's, what do we do with this? We know that the forecast is very wet moving forward in these areas. We did get an aggressive planting pace coming into this kind of wet stretch with 27% planted on corn. But what do we do with it moving forward? And I think that's kind of what the market is trying to digest, is that we know producers are very good at their job and can plant a crop very fast. And so I think we're just a little too early to say, hey, is it still wet? Now, if we come in here Sunday evening and we have another wet forecast ahead of us, I think that's when this market is really going to put that risk premium in there. And we have to remember that managed money is aggressively short corn and soybeans. So if we get to the point where they kind of want to even up on positions, we build the weather premium in there. It could be a crazy couple weeks, but we do need to see that wet forecast materialize. And that's such a double-edged sword. Do you want the crop planted or do you want the rain to get these markets higher? And I think most producers, they say, I'd rather have the crop planted and hope for opportunities down the road.
Yeah. To your point on the cattle side, I think we all know that news cycle is really kind of having the impact. I think June live cattle futures have lost a little over 350 of the past two trading sessions. So watch the news cycle there. In terms of corn, Christy, someone made the comment to me yesterday that sideways here recently in corn is maybe good, not a bad thing, just with the fact that we've seen volatility in these other markets, yet corn, even though it hasn't really done much, it's kind of a win, just kind of holding here in this 440-ish level.
Yeah, I think, you know, if it's not dropping off, it's a win for most guys, except obviously those end users that, you know, those cattle guys. But for the most part, I was hoping you'd see a little bit more out of corn by now. So, you know, I really thought that this was corn's moment to shine over the last month. We've been really, you know, coming in here and cutting out some of the carryout levels. Yes, still a very large carryout domestically for corn, but you've been cutting down that carryout. You've been showing the demand. We got that friendly acre number. We're having a little bit of a wet start. There's all these stories. Managed money is aggressively short. Wheat had a fantastic April across the board. So I was hoping you could see more than corn. And when you aren't seeing that, it just makes me really nervous moving forward. So I am hoping that we can get to some of these price points. Ones that we're looking at is 487, very heavily for December 24 corn. That is about 20 cents away. And I do think that if we can get there, as a firm, we're going to be going aggressive at that point. If you look at 487 on a typical kind of carry that we can see, that gets you close to $5 for that Jan, Feb, March delivery on futures wise. And that's what we're really trying to make sure we're capturing, is that $5 mark. So we're hoping we can get there. But like I said, it's got to get up and going. It's got to do something. And same with soybeans. Soybeans had a horrible trade yesterday, blew through some very important resistance points. It's doing everything to try and bring some buyers in right now. But it has not been a pretty sight when you look at the soybean market.
You told me something we were chatting last week, and I think this is ever important to reiterate here, so I'm going to bring it up. The thought of get your orders working, right, Christy?
Yeah, I cannot stress that enough. A lot of trade happens overnight. It's very volatile. You get any sort of information, even like macro environment, any sort of war update in the Middle East or Russia and Ukraine, those things affect the market. And so it's very important, because a lot of opportunity we have doesn't hang around. Like, for example, look at the corn market that we saw after the March report for the acre number. That was a very friendly report. It really felt like we could get to some of these price targets. And 2 days later, you're just worried about demand with bird flu. And that's a black swan that you can't control. And so you need to be working these orders, because we don't know what can happen in overnight trade. If you're happy with them now, those working orders, keep them in there. You know, that's probably the demise of some producers, is that they work these orders. We get close to getting them hit, and then they say, you know what, I'm going to pull those orders because I think we have more. Work those orders, be happy with them, and hopefully those get hit. There's always other things you can do, and just stagger those working orders.
Well, always appreciate a conversation. Where can folks reach out if they want to have talk to you, have questions about their marketing plan and more? Where can they get in touch with you there at Van Aan & Company?
Yeah, you can call us at 1-800-648-5494.
With that, Christy Van Aan, she sits with Van Aan and Company. Always a pleasure, Christy. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next here on AOA, it is the May episode of The Monthly Grind. We're going to talk about the relationship between the corn industry and the pet food industry. That's coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at Cenex.com. Back with AOA right after this.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe, because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and in the field. Bulk diesel fuel storage could boost productivity and maximize ROI. Learn more at your local Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more information. All right, now it is time for the May episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. This month, we are discussing the relationship between corn and the pet food industry. Joining us first, Manager Market Development for the National Corn Growers Association, Michael Granchier is with us. Michael, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jesse, a pleasure as always.
And also joining us this month, Vice Chair of the Market Development Action Team at NCGA, Kansas's own Chad Epler. Chad, good to have you on with us again.
Always great to be with you, Jesse.
Well, let's dive in. And Michael, set this up for us, because I know you are at the Pet Food Forum in Kansas City this week. And I know this is something we talked about on one of the first episodes of the Monthly Grind. Talk about kind of this overall relationship between the corn industry and the pet food industry. Can you kind of set this up for us?
Yeah, sure can. So, you know, the kind of running joke this week has been corn in your kibble, and that's more likely than you'd think. And that's a great thing. Our kind of strategy when we're approaching the pet food industry is kind of a two-pronged approach, which is first, corn is an ingredient, which could be food, can be treats. You know, think about your dog, your cat's, you know, morning kibble or some of those treats that you might feed for good behaviors throughout the day. And then the second fold to this is what we like to call beyond the bowl applications. And so that's things like biopreferred packaging solutions that maybe are utilizing cornstarch or maybe technologies for pet products. So one of the giveaways at our booth this week behind besides some treats actually made out of corn, corn flour specifically, but we also are handing out, you know, doggy pickup bags if you take your dog to town or whatever, but they've actually replaced all the petroleum in those with cornstarch. So you've got this really durable product that also biodegrades. So we've got a couple different lenses here we're approaching the industry with.
Well, and I think it all kind of speaks to, again, some of the different avenues that we can find for our corn and the great corn that we grow here across the country. And I know you guys have partnered on various studies and much more here. Have you, Michael?
Yeah, that's right. So We've been exhibiting at the Pet Food Forum event, which is one of the country's largest pet food exhibitions. And so this is my fifth year having a booth presence here, sponsored by NCGA's Market Development Action Team. And so it's just been a fantastic opportunity for us every year to have this really good touch point with folks from all sectors of the industry, where we get to sit down and have conversations about corn's competitive advantage as a feedstock and as a food ingredient here for the pet food industry. So we've also partnered on some research that came out of Kansas State with Dr. Greg Eldridge and his team when he was on staff. And so we're handing out resources that are talking about the dietary benefits and actually for digestive health in our cats and dogs when featuring kibble that have corn. And on top of that, some of the research also concluded that corn is actually really good for the extrusion process. And so corn toasts really nicely. It browns really nicely. And so, when living in a world where there's been so much rhetoric around the grain-free movement for our cats and dogs, it's really important to have presence here to talk about so many of the benefits that corn provides for our pets that keep them healthy and living strong.
Chad, let's bring you in here and talk a little bit from your perspective, not only as a grower, but as the member of the Market Development Action Team. And you hear about, corn and pet food and that relationship. I mean, give us your thoughts on that. I don't know if it's something that maybe a lot of farmers, if they don't know about it, maybe aren't necessarily, it's not top of mind. They're thinking about corn as an ingredient for our pet food, right?
Yeah, so if I put on the pet owner hat for a little bit, my wife and I have a little Dapple Dotson, and we want what is absolutely best for her. And so whether that's the food or the treats, we want to make sure that it's healthy and that it's going to be good for her. And corn is a way to make sure that it's helping her immune system, that those treats that have corn ingredients is good for her, for her body, her mind, and it's healthy. And so I think a lot of people miss that corn. I mean, we know that corn is, used for other animal feed, ethanol, things like that. But when you think about pet food, I mean, a lot of people have pets, a lot of people have dogs. And sometimes we get lost in the fact that, my gosh, this stuff that we grow here, this high quality, sustainable corn that we grow here, certainly in Kansas, as well as other states, can be used in what's good for our dogs at home. And that's really important to certainly my wife and I, but to a lot of people.
Well, and I think about this too, with the work that the Market Development Action Team does. We highlight this each and every month here on the Monthly Grind, just finding all these different avenues for corn as an ingredient, as a feedstock, et cetera. What is at the heart of what you guys do with MDAT, isn't it, Chad?
Absolutely. So the corn industry moved nearly 2 million tons of product. If you think about that, 2 million tons of product. So as a grower, we want to make sure that we have the highest yields possible. And so when you have high yields, you have more corn. Well, when you have more corn, you have more to move. And so when you have more corn to move, then you have to find more ways to utilize that corn, whether it is the animal feed or, for human consumption, or maybe a new use like sustainable aviation fuel or plastics going forward. Corn needs to be moved, and it doesn't matter, to us as growers, where it goes. We want to make sure that it just gets moved. Stockpiles of corn doesn't help anybody. And so we want to make sure that our high quality corn gets moved. And remember, corn's sustainable, abundant, and affordable. And we want to try to get that moved domestically, export as much as we can. And part of MDAT is to find those uses and to be able to get that corn moved. And that's kind of, our purpose of MDAT.
Well, Michael, let's bring you back in here as we kind of tie this all back together with the work you are doing this week at the Pet Food Forum and more, and to a lot of Chad's points, finding all of these avenues for corn here for our corn growers in the country, and you know, looking at some of the stats here, the partnerships you guys have in just the pet food industry alone, really important work you guys are doing, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think this is really where the importance of strategic partnership comes into place. You know, our team is tasked with the mission of finding homes, but it's not just finding, you know, homes for bushels. It's finding opportunities that allow America's corn farmers to remain competitive and profitable in their operations. And so, you know, we've part of our relationships, you know, we've worked closely with the Institute for Feed Education and Research, along with the American Feed Industry Association. And, you know, Chad referenced that awesome study that we partnered with in 2020. That concluded that the American corn industry moved nearly 2 million tons of product solely in from the pet food industry. And so, you know, again, when we're positioning corn as this abundant, safe ingredient for our pets, for the livestock industry, for all of these other you know, value yielding applications for corn, you know, I think having that data top of mind is really important. And again, being able to work across all of these other partnerships that we've been able to build across the sector so that we're all working together. And I think it's so important to keep in mind that rising tides lifts all boats.
Couldn't agree more. Chad, we got about a minute here. Any final thoughts from you as we talk about the relationship between corn and the pet food industry?
I just think it's important that people that are pet owners, like I had mentioned before, my wife and I, have a little dog. Those people that have pets, dogs, cats, you think about what it can mean to have a good, healthy product in the diet of your pet. And corn provides that through, you know, providing the kibbles that are maybe toasted and formed better than you know, other things. And dogs like the taste of that corn. And so, It's really important that to us, a happy dog is a happy home. And whether you have dogs, cats, or whatever your pet is, that's really important. So we want to make sure that corn is utilized in the pet food industry, and we keep those partnerships healthy.
Learn more at ncga.com. With that, the May episode of the Monthly Grind. Michael, Chad, thank you both for joining us here this month. We appreciate it.
Pleasure always, Jesse. If you're in Kansas City, swing by booth 1947.
Michael Granche and Chad Appler there with the National Corn Growers Association. That's going to do it for the May episode of the Monthly Grind here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. We'll be back with more. We'll talk sustainable aviation fuel on the way right after this.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Looking at corn, weather in the U.S. will feature more heavy rain in the central and even southern plains on Wednesday. That with some severe Midwest storms expected from Nebraska on south. Early Wednesday, some scattered storms were moving through parts of eastern Oklahoma, southwest Nebraska, and Wisconsin. Wednesday, the Energy Information Administration will be out with their weekly petroleum status report. That's expected to see a modest bounce up in ethanol production. That with traders looking for a potential draw on inventory of as much as 3 percentage points. The Biden administration came out with their guidelines for credits for corn ethanol. They amounted to $1.25 to $1.75 per gallon. Those are subsidies that will go to farms using climate-friendly growing practices, including no-till and cover cropping. Soybeans, pressuring soybeans and soybean meal is a quick end to Argentina's two-day strike by port workers. Soy meal is weaker after reaching a three-month high at one point on Tuesday. Weather will see further planting delays as strong storms again make their way across the plains and the Midwest in the U.S. Brazil's soybean harvest is now 90% complete, that according to CONAB. Looking at wheat, some of the recent selling has come from the market being technically overbought. Russian free on board values continue to be the source of cheapest wheat for importers, along with Ukraine. Ukraine in April, despite the continuing barrage of missiles and drones aimed at Black Sea port structures, has been able to export an impressive 6.3 million metric tons, including 4.1 million metric tons of corn and 1.9 million metric tons of wheat. Cattle boxed beef prices didn't provide any support Tuesday, with choice down 3.16 and select down 26 cents. That's Ag Market Information from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive, like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here today on AOA, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex premium lubricants help keep equipment protected. You can learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit them online at cenex.com. Well, let's turn our attention to the ethanol biofuels industry and sustainable aviation fuel. The long-awaited SAF tax credit rules have been released here this week. Joining us now for a conversation on that and much more, he is the CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance America. Donnell Rehaget is with us here today on the program. Donnell, thanks for being back with us on AOA. It's great to talk with you again.
Well, thank you as well, Jesse. Happy to be here.
Well, let's start with that SAF tax credit news. The Biden administration on Tuesday releasing details spelling out how ethanol and biodiesel producers can qualify for this $1.25 per gallon sustainable aviation fuel 40B tax credit. We got the updated GREET modeling here as well. And I know everyone in the industry reacting to this. It seems mostly favorable. It seems a lot of folks are saying this is a good groundwork, a good start. What are your thoughts? What is Clean Fuels' perspective on these tax credit rules?
Well, first of all, we're happy to have gotten the guidance. You know, the 40B passed as part of the IRA back in November of 2022. So it went into effect, a brand new SAF tax credit, January of 2023, and it expires at the end of this calendar year. So we've waited this long to get the guidance, so we're excited about finally having that. You know, we appreciate the fact that the USDA really stuck their nose in there to make sure that they're going to be able to incorporate some of the good climate smart agriculture practices, give farmers a little bit of a pat on the back for what they're doing to take care of the climate, take care of what's going on. So we're happy about that, but there's still a lot of work to be done. You mentioned others are sort of generally positive. We are generally positive as well, but as I mentioned, there's quite a bit of work still to be done.
Well, and I know on the flip side of this, some folks have laid out their thoughts on there needs to be more work done. I know some folks in Congress have come out and maybe they're not as thrilled with the news. But to your point, I mean, it seems like that the federal government, the Treasury, USDA, et cetera, everyone, you know, we were talking about getting this back in March and delaying it now here a couple of months to try and get it maybe more right and at least giving us a decent framework here to hopefully start to build off of, though, right, Donnell?
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned, this 40B tax credit, you know, expires at the end of this calendar year, and it's going to be replaced by a different tax mechanism, referred to as 45Z, and that's a clean fuel production credit. So that credit will take the place of 40B and will include SAF as well as biodiesel and renewable diesel. And so that's what's happening here is this guidance that's come out on 40B, we believe will be the framework for how 45Z, that will also again include biodiesel and renewable diesel, will be handled. So you're familiar with our blender's tax credit in the biodiesel world. It's been $1 a gallon for a number of years. That is changing come January of 2025, and that's what we're talking about here. So the mechanism that has been put into place for 40B, we believe, will be the mechanism for 45Z or something close to that, and that's going to be dictating the value of that credit after January. And again, we know it's not going to be a dollar anymore, but this rationale released in 40B starts to give us a little bit of insight as to how the government's going to look at our clean fuel production credit come January.
And Donnell, you know, thinking about biodiesel and renewable diesel specifically, you know, there's many different things that have been talked about as feedstocks. But are you optimistic that this is going to open up this pathway a little bit more for that segment of the industry here as a feedstock for SAF?
Well, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, that was the goal, right? 40B is a sustainable aviation fuel tax credit. None existed prior to that. So that was the government back in 2022 saying, we want to kickstart this sustainable aviation fuel industry. And so, again, it will all roll into 45Z come January, and it's all about carbon reduction. And so the feedstocks have a big part to play in the finished fuel and the carbon intensity of that finished fuel. And as I mentioned, you know, fortunately here, the government's also acknowledging the great work that our nation's farmers are doing to incorporate climate smart agriculture. And they're going to start to reward that by allowing that to be factors in reducing the CI scores for feedstocks like soy and corn.
We're talking with Donnell Rehagen, CEO of Clean Fuels Alliance America. Donnell, let's talk about some other avenues here, new markets for biodiesel, renewable diesel, a lot of focus, of course, on SAF right now, but there's a lot of other opportunity out there, railroads, ships, marine vessels, you name it. Talk about some of those different markets that Clean Fuels has been watching, working on, excited about.
Jesse, we are very excited about those opportunities. You know, anytime you have a product like biodiesel, renewable diesel, the more market opportunities you have, the better that can be for you as a producer. And so this recent emergence of demand that's coming up in the form of rail and marine particularly presents huge opportunities for our industry. The U.S. rail industry is about a 4 billion gallon a year industry. And so that's an opportunity that's emerging much more now because of corporate sustainability goals. You and I probably get a lot of our goods now delivered to our front porch, right? We get home and there's Amazon or whomever dropping goods at our front porch that we've ordered. And those have to make their way around the globe some way. And typically that involves diesel engines, either in rail or marine vessels or over-the-road trucks. And so we are now being looked at by rail and marine as a way to immediately decarbonize their transportation and therefore the transportation of the goods that their customers are wanting to receive in a much more sustainable way.
And I know, too, that, you know, thinking about the use of renewable diesel, biodiesel, and a lot of the work of, you know, cutting carbon emissions and things, I think about, for instance, you know, currently trains, railroads, I mean, there's talk of getting electric trains that may not be as efficient. So you know, maybe leaning a little bit more into biodiesel and renewable diesel can really kind of make up some of that ground that we're trying to cut our carbon emissions, you know, specifically on the railroad side, Donnell.
Well, you know, you're looking really in a little different, but a similar way, right? I mean, you're talking about major, large engines in these locomotives, yeah. The same way in an airplane, right? And so there's a lot of power demanded of those engines. And, you know, batteries and electric might just not be the right solution, or certainly near-term solution. So I think you're exactly right. The railroads are saying, hey, we need to do something today. We can't wait for technology that might be 10 or 20 or 30 years down the road. And we can be doing something today. And so that's where, you know, we've been able to be much more engaged with them than we would have been maybe a decade or so ago. And so we're excited about that.
There's been a lot of state policy news here recently surrounding biodiesel and renewable diesel, et cetera. I think I recently saw some news out of New Mexico. What are some different things happening at the state level, Donnell?
Well, a lot of the states are getting very active in what I would call clean fuel initiatives, clean transportation initiatives. There's that kind of encompasses a lot of different mechanisms. Some states look at incentivizing the use of these cleaner fuels by either production credits or credits at the pump. And so New Mexico has passed basically a clean fuel standard for the state of Mexico that will kind of increase the blends of our fuels into diesel fuel in New Mexico. So that's just an example. We see that sort of mechanism used a lot. And there's a number of other states that are looking at their own types of initiatives as well. Some much more elaborate and expansive than that, but some just as simple as that as well. And all of those together really do make up a big amount of difference for our industry and create a lot of new demand and a lot of new excitement.
Well, turning our attention real quick to national policy as well as we kind of wrap things up here, Donnell, any big things that you guys are watching in terms of work being done on Capitol Hill or things with EPA, anything else you would want to mention that you're keeping a close eye on here today?
Well, certainly we always talk about the renewable fuel standard, Jesse, and we never take our eye off of that. And so, you know, the EPA a couple of years ago released a 3-year volume for us, which we were disappointed in. And so really by this fall, November of 2024, they should be releasing their proposed volumes for 2026. Yeah, I meant 2026. So 2026 and beyond. So we are working with the EPA on what the potential is for our industry, what feedstocks look like, production volumes, so that we can try to help them get it closer to right the next time. It is an election year. I guess you maybe heard that, right? Mm-hmm. And so whether those volumes will really come out in November is a little bit of a question mark. But that is the timeline the EPA is on. So we do know that they are working on their homework assignment as we speak. And so we are engaging with that. We really, really need them to do a better job of seeing the opportunity and the possibility that our industry has, and to recognize that with volumes in out years versus what they did this last time, kind of putting a little bit of a lid on our industry that we weren't very excited about.
Yeah, a lot of benchmarks in front of us here that we got to pay attention to. Folks can stay up to date, cleanfuels.org. Donnell Rehagen, CEO, Clean Fuels Alliance America. Donnell, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jesse.
Donnell Rehagen there with Clean Fuels Alliance America. Good stuff, good thoughts, as always, from Donnell. All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. We'll wrap up the show. We'll talk with George O'Connor from OIDA. We'll talk trucking issues next on AOA.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher
has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Long hours is the name of the game for farmers, ranchers, and fleet operators. Cenex Premium Diesel helps to keep your trucks on the road. Learn more online at cenex.com. Speaking of keeping trucks on the road, let's talk about some various trucking issues here as we get towards the end of today's show. Joining us now for a conversation, George O'Connor, Government Affairs and Director of Communications for the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, OIDA, is with us here today. George, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jesse, good to be here. Yeah, just a little background on OIDA. We represent about 150,000 small business truckers all across the country.
Well, I know you guys have been fighting hard on various legislation and more, and a lot of different news items that could impact the trucking industry. George, let's catch up on the speed limiter rulemaking. This is something we've talked about with OIDA before here on the show. What's the latest in terms of where this speed limiting mandate rulemaking? Where does all of this legislation stand right now?
I tell you what, I wish I could give you some detail, but FMCSA, the regulatory body under the Department of Transportation, is issuing the rulemaking, has continued to kick this can down the road, which on the one hand, we're not too sad about that because we don't want it to go into effect. But they originally promised that they'd have it out by the end of last year in December of 2023. Then they said May of this year. And it doesn't look like they're going to meet that deadline. So they're getting closer and closer to a presidential election. So it gets a little dicier with controversial rulemakings when you get closer and closer to November. So we'll see what happens by the end of the year, but it's looking less and less likely. But the bottom line from our perspective is that what they're considering, FMCSA and USDOT, is a mandate of speed limiters on all Class 8 semi-trucks that could be 65, 68, 70 miles per hour. From our perspective, one, it's a competitive disadvantage for small business truckers because some of the larger fleets already have these speed limiting devices for fleet management, fuel efficiency, whatever their incentive is for doing so. But God bless them, if they want to do that, go for it. In the meantime, small business truckers have been able to have a little bit more flexibility. The bigger fleets are saying, well, we don't like you guys having a competitive advantage, so we're going to work through the federal government to slow you all down too. So we don't like that too much, which is why we're fighting against it.
Well, and, I've talked about this before. I know Louis Pugh with OIDA has been on, and it seems like that the DOT at FMCSA are wanting to, think they're making things safer by doing this. But, in reality, if you get all the trucks slowed down, cars and trucks, passenger cars and trucks going faster, it feels like it would make things more unsafe on the roads. Right, George?
You're exactly right. And what we call this would be rolling roadblocks. And I'm sure some of your listeners, even in a passenger vehicle, if you've been behind two trucks for multiple miles, let's say you're, and they're side by side, they're passing each other at very, very slow rate, you're stuck. That can lead to road rage in some instances, and unsafe driving behavior, people passing on shoulders. But even beyond just the side by side rolling roadblocks, let's just say the trucks were limited to the right lane, I mean, you still have the speed differential in places, let's say in Texas, where you got an 80 mile an hour speed limit, and you've got trucks limited to 65 miles an hour, while you got a 15 mile an hour speed differential. And we've got scientific data that's coming from independent scientific data coming from academic research, that you get almost 300% more interactions between vehicles with every 10 mile per hour differential. Mm-hmm. So why isn't that more? And it gets less and less safe. And interactions is passing, just getting side by side with a vehicle. So that's where accidents happen. So it really is unsafe. And all the data we're looking at indicates that This would actually decrease safety by increasing vehicle interactions. And some states are moving away from split speed limits for trucks and cars for this exact reason. Tennessee just did this about a month or so ago. They had a set speed for trucks, and they had a set speed for passenger vehicles, and they found that it was unsafe. So they moved away from it. So, we've made our voice heard with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. About over 15,000 comments have been delivered to them that they are in the process of going through or have gone through. And let's see if they listen to the folks that are actually on the road.
George, we got about 45 seconds here. I hate to limit you on this other topic, but EPA's EV truck mandate, I know that is another big issue you guys are watching as well.
Absolutely. I mean, just given our short time here, internal combustion truck goes for about $180,000, and an EV truck goes for about $400,000, and the EPA wants to mandate the purchase of EV trucks. They'll phase it in, but by 2032, 25% of trucks sold will have to be EVs, essentially. So just consider what that'll do to the supply chain and the costs and just the overall limitations that we've heard from EVs all across the board. Apply that to the supply chain, and it's not a good picture.
Well, I know folks can learn more about that issue and all the issues you guys are fighting for online at OIDA.com, OOIDA.com. With that, George O'Connor with the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. George, thanks for joining us. We'll get you back on the show again real soon. Appreciate the time.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
George O'Connor there with OIDA joining us here today on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants and Premium Greases. Learn more at Cenex.com. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us here on the show. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to OLI.org.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.